Hello, everybody. It is Fantai Bridges, your host, and you are listening to Voices for Change. In an earlier post, we discussed the realities of personal prevention measures against COVID-19 in developing countries, including masks, covering your mouth, washing your hands, etc. And we determined that it has socioeconomic implications in terms of the inaccessibility of water, sanitation services, and health resources. It's also really just important to remember that access to water is a human right in itself. However, the pandemic also threatens social human rights, which have been deeply felt by these communities. The restriction and enforcement of various orders can put vulnerable individuals in unsafe conditions that range from toxic living situations to even police brutality. Many of these issues are also heightened when considering gender, and we will investigate how COVID-19 has impacted the human rights of those across Kenya, and even particularly in informal settlements. For context, Kenya has made major changes in its system in the past few months to limit the spread of the virus. But so far, there have been 535 confirmed cases of coronavirus and 24 deaths. And this is according to the Kenyan Ministry of Health, and they will update their reports daily. And so this number will probably be different by the time that this podcast airs. And in response to this influx of cases, on March 27th, officials implemented a dusk-to-dawn curfew between 1900 and 5 o'clock, where citizens must remain at home and are arrested if not doing so. There is also a travel ban that prohibits travel to and from Nairobi and its neighboring counties. Some coastal counties also have this ban in effect. At the same time, transportation and the most basic commodities such as food, water, and more have become scarce and risen in price. Employment and business have also plummeted, which threatens the livelihoods of many families. The combination of high prices, low employment, restricted movement, and overall uncertainty of the situation can foster tension within family households. In a human rights report, most parents expressed concern that the economic impacts of the COVID-19 crisis on households could lead to an increase of domestic and gender-based violence, instability within families, and the proliferation of child prostitution and illicit sexual activities, since families cannot meet their needs. And this is coming from a human rights impact report conducted by the United Nations Human Rights and Social Justice Center Working Group, which have been monitoring these impacts by using the use of smartphone-based household surveys, and their focus is mainly in Kenya's informal settlements. And I think it's really interesting that this report is based off of people that actually live there and their perspectives on the situation, because no one knows it better than they do. And we'll be going back to this report and referencing it further in this podcast. Domestic abuse has been a pre-existing issue way before the pandemic happened. In 2014, the Kenyan government reported that 45% of women and girls between the ages of 15 and 49 have experienced physical violence, and 14% have experienced sexual violence. The report also indicated that 39% of ever married women experienced physical or sexual violence from a spouse. And on average, only 44% of women who have experienced abuse actually report it or seek out help. And this kind of indicates that this issue may even be larger, because there's a whole group of people that we don't know who may not be sharing out. So it's also very important to keep in mind. Abuse can have fatal consequences. The Daily Nation runs a program that tracks the prevalence of home murders, and they collect statistics on each case, including information about the victim and the perpetrator, and they post obituaries for the victims in memory. In 2019, there were 171 cases of murders that happened at home, and of these cases, 71% were women in intimate relationships. And 13% of all the cases were children. Although deaths led by abuse are outcomes of extreme scenarios and extreme cases or situations, it is still an issue worth acknowledging. And coming back to what's happening right now currently, these rates of abuse could even increase amid Kenya's movement restrictions and curfew, as they provide more opportunity for domestic violence to happen behind closed doors. In fact, there has been a global surge in gender-related domestic violence since the beginning of this pandemic. UN Secretary General even tweeted, and I quote, "I urge all governments to put women's safety first as they respond to the pandemic," end quote. Kenya is not an exception. In early April, Kenya's National Council on Administration of Justice reported a significant spike in sexual offenses that constituted 35.8% of criminal matters, and this happened within the past 2 weeks of their statement. The council made note that typically the perpetrators of such offenses are close relatives, guardians, and/or persons living with the victims. This statement is particularly alarming, knowing that the perpetrators are so close to home, and now households have to spend increasingly more time together. Moreover, prevention orders make it difficult for survivors to access urgent support services or seek refuge elsewhere. Domestic and sexual violence have severe emotional and physical consequences that can lead to mental illness, physical injuries, sexually transmitted infections, unplanned pregnancy, and more. And those who choose to escape their living situations also run the risk of being arrested, especially during the nighttime, with strict enforcement. In short, the ramifications of these measures can trap abuse victims with their abusers, and could punish them if they try to leave. On the flip side, police negligence and brutality have also become a growing issue since COVID-19. The UN and SJCWG Impact Report indicated that, and I quote, "Police have been turning away victims of domestic violence from police stations on the basis that these crimes were not urgent," end quote. And this is despite the surge in cases and warnings from international groups. In addition to indifference, police officers have also become abusers as well. The report continued by revealing an increase in sexual harassment of women and girls, and especially sex workers, by police and county security officers. Police brutality and corruption have risen after the Kenyan government had granted police officers more public order powers to improve the enforcement. And within the first 2 weeks of the curfew, police had killed 12 people, which was actually greater than the coronavirus death toll. The police are using excessive force while raiding the streets, markets, and homes, even before the daily curfew start time begins. And reports reveal that authorities have also looted food, extorted money from residents, and made arbitrary arrests. Those who are homeless or live in informal settlements are particularly vulnerable given their circumstances. One of the most upsetting cases is the death of Yasin Hussein Moyo. The 13-year-old boy had been watching the police rampage through Kiamaiko, an informal settlement in Nairobi, from his balcony at home. During an open fire, the police shot and killed Moyo in front of his siblings. Another case happened in an informal settlement in Mombasa, where a Boda driver was beaten to death by police after bringing a pregnant woman home past curfew. Many find the excessive enforcement and violence spy police to be counterproductive in many ways. But they also highlight the structural inequalities that the pandemic worsens. While the government and President Kenyatta have acknowledged and apologized on behalf of these atrocities, there's been little call to action on their end to stop abuse in the future. And it's unfortunate seeing authority figures oppress the public, one, because it's not very effective in containing the virus, but also they're doing this when vulnerable people need protection the most. Coronavirus has introduced another public health issue, which is violence. Although these orders are meant to protect the public's health and contain the virus and end the pandemic, there are repercussions that need to be addressed. Whether it's at home or on the streets, people are in potentially dangerous situations and need reliable support. Hopefully, with more advocacy and pressure on the government, structural changes will be made in terms of human rights and support. I think that this goes without saying, but Kenyans deserve to trust their authority, their government, their community leaders, and they also deserve to feel safe and to feel supported, especially now. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's pretty serious. The topic was a little gloomy, but it's very important that we acknowledge it. Please stay tuned for next time. We look forward to having you back.